You're hearing the sounds of a recent protest calling for tighter gun restrictions following the shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. From the Vietnam era to Occupy Wall Street to Black Lives Matter and the protest you just heard, young people have often played pivotal roles in social movements. Our next guest is an expert on social protests and the impact they have on our everyday politics. David Meyer is professor of sociology at the University of California, Irvine. He blogs at Politics Outdoors. David, welcome back to Central Time.
It's good to be with you, Rob.
David, before we dig back into the history, this seems like a unique moment, at least in the gun debate in the United States. What do you make of the high school students being involved in these gun-related protests?
Well, I'm totally impressed and awed by the commitment of the Parkland kids and their ability to command national attention and try to keep it focused on gun issues. I'm also impressed with their ability not to immediately fall into partisan politics. So that's all very exciting. But as you know, we've seen lots of moments of activism that follow dramatic mass shootings, and then sometimes mostly nothing happens.
Now, looking back, how often have we seen young people play important roles in American protest movements?
Young people are often kind of the front lines of doing activism, though they don't always get credit for it. Essentially, one of the reasons I like teaching college is when you're a young person, you view things with a moral clarity and sharpness and see yourself as acting with urgency to change the world. I mean, I've had students come up to me and say, the way I think about everything has changed after this quarter. And it's not because of my teaching, it's because of where they are in their lives. Everything seems to be open. And they are unlikely to be patient with the idea that, well, you know, the gun issue or the civil rights issue or the women's issue or the peace issue just takes time, and we have to be patient to get things done. So young people were on the front lines of the civil rights movement, leading the bus boycotts in Montgomery, organizing the lunch counter sit-ins. They were on the front lines of the Chicano movement in California, leading student walkouts for educational equality. They were on the front lines of the anti-war movement because they said, we're the people who are going to be drafted. And there were protests in high school and at colleges across the country.
Now, with the post-Parkland protests, and I imagine it's happened before, a question has been raised, especially by people who disagree with the goals of the movement. Well, should we be listening to younger people? Are they politically sophisticated enough to have opinions we should be paying attention to? Is this something we run across again and again through youth protests in history?
Absolutely. But it's not even just youth protests. Whenever there are any kind of mass movements, the job of the opposition is to come up with ways why you shouldn't take those people seriously. So the people who are protesting and articulate are either very naive and therefore not to be taken seriously. And that's not just students. That could be mothers. That could be regular citizens. That could be environmentalists. Or they're dupes. They're controlled by special interests or they're controlled by foreign powers. So seeing these kids, seeing gun interests trying to discredit these kids is really predictable. The thing I'd add, if you work with high school students or American teens, the kids who are coming out of Parkland are great. They're smart. They're sharp. They're committed. But they're not unique. There are lots of kids like that all across the United States.
Talking to David Meyer, professor of sociology at the University of California, Irvine, looking at youth and protest in the United States, especially after the shootings in Parkland, Florida. We asked people online, have you ever been part of a youth protest? You can answer that question on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Kirsta on Facebook says no, but she fully supports it, youth protest, because it will help youth get more involved in the political system. David, is that true? Are young people who start off maybe organizing a protest campaign then people who are going to be involved in politics, local, national, down the road?
Usually that's the way it works. Usually wherever you start, whenever you start, you keep going. You may not be doing exactly the same things. The kids who are organizing a demonstration now, they might not be organizing demonstrations in 6 or 8 or 10 years, but they may be running for office or endorsing candidates or lobbying. That's the common pattern. You know, a classic example who's a hero that we should, you know, talk about whenever we have the chance is John Lewis, who started as a divinity student, a college student in Nashville, and got arrested over and over again, got beaten over and over again, an extraordinarily brave man. And he's a member of Congress now, and he still sometimes gets arrested.
But is there something different that makes it challenging to make that transition? If you're out protesting, you have, as you're saying earlier, that moral clarity on an issue. As you go into politics, you may have to compromise to get elected, to get reelected, to get something passed. Do we lose something in that transition that takes a lot of people out of politics?
I'm not sure it takes people out of politics. It may take people out of protest on a routine basis. When we look at people's participation in politics over the life course, there's a lot of variability in what people do at different times. The kids who are protesting now in 10 years or 15 years may be voting and contributing money and worried about raising families. And in 30 years, they may be doing protests again. It sort of depends on how your life develops. And do we lose something? You know, everybody loses something when they're not an adolescent anymore. There's something really exciting about the way everything feels and how intensely clearly you can see everything and how you can maintain a focus. And most people don't do that their whole lives.
I want to give a listen to one of the Parkland students. Emma Gonzalez is one of the many students who spoke at a rally after the shooting. She's gotten a high profile since. Here she is.
I watched an interview this morning and noticed that one of the questions was, do you think your children will have to go through other school shooter drills? And our response is that our neighbors will not have to go through other school shooter drills. When we have had our say with the government, and maybe the adults have gotten used to saying it is what it is, but if us students have learned anything, it's that if you don't study, you will fail. And in this case, if you actively do nothing, people continually end up dead. So it's time to start doing something.
So what do you make of Emma Gonzalez and David Hogg and the other people who have emerged as the faces and voices of this protest movement?
You know, I'm in awe of Emma Gonzalez. She's a charismatic, and she took AP U.S. government, so she knows politics, too, and she appeared in school plays, so she knows how to do the drama stuff and how to organize her speaking. Another boy, Cameron Caskey, is also a drama kid. David Hogg is a high school journalist, and he can write. And again, these kids are great. They're tremendous. But it's not just those three. Jacqueline Corin has been posting videos on her Twitter feed, and they're really powerful. A girl named Sarah Chadwick has been trolling conservative figures on Twitter and, you know, throwing facts in their face. And, I mean, these are the kids that I've heard about from across the country. There are lots and lots of kids with this capacity, and I think we want to appreciate, you know, like what they're putting up and all it takes. But Emma's a really powerful speaker. I mean, imagine what she'll be able to do when she's 19 or 20.
Is there something about a younger person in whatever era we're talking about being the one that's most in touch with the newest method of communication? In this case, we've got the digital natives having maybe a built-in command of how to communicate on social media?
I don't know if this is a pattern of the past, but it's something that really matters now. Today's teens grew up in a social media era. Twitter is, they're more conversant on Twitter and more clever about how to use it than adults who spent time trying to strategize it academically. And I think that the nature of social media has made it possible for them to define themselves and their issues to a much larger degree than earlier youth movements. So the peace movement of the 1960s was subsumed into a war, you know, the student protests were subsumed into a larger anti-Vietnam movement. The civil rights movement, where young people were on the front lines, was still largely articulated by older leaders of established organizations. But these kids can get out from underneath the big organizations and get their own message out. Another piece of that, Rob, is that the student activists and all kinds of activists of the past used to be dependent upon getting their message through mainstream media. And they were dependent upon who reporters chose to interview, who reporters chose to quote. But these kids can put their own words out front and circulate speeches like Emma Gonzalez's video that might not make it through an editorial process at the New York Times. So that's a new development, and I'm excited about watching it.
David Meyer is with us, professor of sociology at the University of California, Irvine. He's here to talk about the history and present of youth protests. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of recent protests following the school shooting in Florida? What impact do you think young people have on politics and social change? Should people pay attention to teens and young adults when they speak out on issues? Should the media pay attention to them? And if you yourself are a teen who takes part in protests or did back when you were a teen, what can we learn from these efforts? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about youth protests. David Meyer is a professor of sociology at the University of California, Irvine. He blogs about social and political demonstrations at Politics Outdoors. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on youth protests, their involvement in politics, the current wave of protests led by survivors of the shooting in Florida? And if you are young yourself now, what are some social issues you've worked for or against? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll go to your calls now. Gary is with us in Fitchburg. Gary, hi.
Hi. I'm someone that marched against the Vietnam War. Marched also against the Iraq War. I'm 71. I'm wondering where the youth of today are protesting the various wars we're in around the world. And I think we're like bombing something like 9 countries. And perhaps the reason is it's not on the regular news. And today's youth are involved in protesting monuments, Confederate monuments, and other things, but the problems in our country, many of them are because the wealth is being pulled out, sucked out by the Pentagon.
Gary, thanks for the call. So Gary's saying, David, okay, young people are involved in issues inward looking, though maybe not looking at the global picture and underlying issues.
I think young people are involved in some global issues. I think I've seen more action on climate change than on war. And I think part of the reason is, as Gary suggested, the American participation in military action abroad gets much less coverage than it could. And unlike America up until 1973, young men are not liable to the draft. So the kids at Parkland can be concerned with lots and lots of threats, like a school shooter, like the climate, like spending on schools, like being able to afford college. But war is probably not highest on the list most of the time.
Thanks a lot for that call. There's been some criticism of the amount of attention paid to these students after young people involved in the Black Lives Matter movement didn't seem to get that much attention, and not as individuals speaking out for their movement. What do you make of do you see that difference? What do you make of it?
It sure looks like that's true. And I think that part of the story is the media that pick up on movements are concerned with their own audiences, and the mostly white, mostly middle class, well-educated kids are more telegenic and interesting to their audiences than, you know, children and young people of color who are protesting against police violence. Suburban TV watchers or newspaper readers are not particularly concerned on a day-to-day basis, if they're white, with police violence because they don't see it as a threat to themselves or their kids. That's not true about the school shootings. Is it unfair? Is it asymmetrical? Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Talking to David Meyer from the University of California, Irvine, looking at youth protest and politics. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Melissa is with us in Black River Falls. Melissa, hi.
Hello.
What do you think?
I think it's always great when we get students engaged in the political systems early to learn how the systems work and things like that. I have participated in different events, you know, in the 80s when I was a student and things. And what I've come to realize now that I'm pushing 50 is that there's a lot of things that I did not understand about the world as a whole and the global view of things and how systems work together and how specifically, like you're talking about, the gun violence and the shootings and different aspects, things are not as easy and as straightforward as some students may understand. And so it always needs to be taken into context about, yes, you know, the safety is extremely important. And as parents and adults that are listening to their demonstrations, we need to take that into context and be able to express to them the bigger global picture and view and how things play together in order to be successful with this. Because if we just look at it from the eyes of a teenager, you're going to leave out a lot of information that's critical to me making decisions and policies, and we need to not do it from a knee-jerk reaction.
Melissa, thanks for the call. David, what do you think?
I think that Melissa's comment is pretty astute. The flip side of that point, though, about things being more complicated, is that the kids are comfortable bringing up things that are obvious until you've been doing lots and lots of research. So one of the boys who went to the meeting with Trump talked about Australia, where I assume there's as much mental illness as there is in the United States, but there aren't mass shootings because people don't have access to guns. And if you're doing gun activism or advocacy all the time in the United States, that's a basic situation. That's a basic set of conditions that you may neglect to bring up because you've long ago learned to deal with it. And so I think that there's a balance between experience and the urgency of youth.
David, as we start to wrap up, what makes the difference in success? What makes a protest successful in enacting change versus one that just sort of fizzles?
I would point to two big things. One is being able to sustain the effort over time. The American system is set up to make political change very, very, very difficult and slow. And what these kids on guns are trying to do is set up a series of actions that are going to continue through the 2018 elections and beyond. They're going to have to be able to do that to make a big impact. The second thing that matters is mobilizing broad constituencies, people who don't necessarily agree with you on lots of other stuff, to work on your issues and to accept the diversity within a social movement, a diversity of tactics. So So people are going to file a legal challenge. Others are going to work in elections. Others are going to organize demonstrations. And a diversity of claims, like things that people care about. And the Parkland kids seem really sophisticated in understanding this. But following through and maintaining the effort is going to take not only their good smarts and good intentions, but also the support and activism of well-established groups that are led by adults.
David, thanks a lot for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Rob. Take care.
We've been talking to David Meyer. He's a professor of sociology at the University of California, Irvine. His blog looking at social movements is called Politics Outdoors. He was with us today to talk about youth protests, past and present, and the impact they have on social change, politics, and more, especially in the aftermath of the Parkland, Florida mass shooting and the student efforts for gun control since then. You can keep the conversation going. We've got a question up at the Ideas Network Facebook page. Have you ever been part of a youth protest? Head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page. You can like us there and tell us about your past or present involved in youth protest.